Welcome to Arizona Boomer Radio with the Boomer and the Babe. Arizona Boomer Radio gives voice to 1.4 million boomers throughout the Grand Canyon State and beyond. Each show has a different guest and a different topic. We hope you enjoy the relaxed conversational style of the show. Nothing fancy, just boomers sitting around the table talking about stuff. Now here are the hosts of the show, Pete Peters and Deborah Brown.
And thank you everybody for joining us today. This is Friday, it is August 24th, 2012. And this is the final show of the week. Those of you that are accustomed to hearing the Boomer the Babe theme music, you've got something a little bit different. We're in the process of transitioning. We're going to be doing approximately this time slot, Arizona Boomer Radio in the near future. The Boomer the Babe show will be moving. We are taking right now the Boomer the Babe show content and using that intro to kind of make people and have people become a little bit more aware of that. Arizona Boomer Radio will be concentrating strictly on Arizona topics and Arizona guests primarily, and the Boomer the Babe show will be our national effort, and that will be what it's always been. So we will be starting to do two shows, one at an earlier time slot than 10, and another one at a little later time slot than 10. Arizona Boomer Radio will be premiering earlier in the morning and the other one a little bit later in the morning, and that will start in September. So that's the reason why we have a little bit of confusion. But trust me when I say that it's the internet and it's heard all over the world, across the country, and around the globe. So forget the title, but the content is still great. And I am Pete Peters. As I said, Deborah's not with us. Deborah's out doing some work with one of our other clients and the book publishing side of what we do. So we're going to be going it alone today with her, and I have, without her rather, and I have an absolutely phenomenal guest with me today. Her name is Dr. Alice Westergaard, and Dr. Westergaard is an educator, and she's involved in information about what's going to happen to us, and it's happening probably to our parents right now, when all of a sudden we're going to run out of caregivers. We've heard the story about the fact there's not going to be enough hospitals, aren't going to be enough caregivers, aren't going to be enough doctors, nurses, and so on and so forth. And what's going to happen? And we're going to take a look at that growing demographic and see what's coming. Dr. Westergaard, welcome to the Boomer the Babe Show.
Thanks, Pete. I'm just thrilled to be with you and your listeners, regardless of where they may be or when they're listening. We're going to be talking about some very timely and important issues that impact all of us. So I'm thrilled to be on the task today.
Well, I'm glad to have you. It's really something that we've had and discussed on this show from many different points of view, but it's going to be interesting to have your point of view with regard to this. Some people have called it a silver tsunami. Other people have called it, it's been written about it in something called Age Wave. I don't know if you're familiar with that book, but that was out even years ago already. And it's all about everybody getting older, and whether we like it or not, we are getting older. It's something that can't be avoided. The avoidance of getting older is not good, so let's go with getting older. But before we get into that discussion, why don't you give us a little bit of background? If Deborah were here, she would ask you for a two-minute movie, and that two-minute movie is your background prior to the work that you're doing now. But what brought you to the work, and what were you doing in the past in your more formative years as you were developing your thoughts and your path?
Well, if it was going to be a two-minute movie, I would have to say it's a Busby Berkeley musical. I had a very non-traditional route into this kind of work. When I was growing up, because I am a boomer myself, the whole field of gerontology wasn't around. It was just some kind of theoretical construct, so I didn't have any exposure to any career field. And in fact, I started out as a K-12 educator and just kept moving on up. I had a very successful career in corporate America after a teaching career in the public school system. And working in corporate America, I worked in healthcare and had the honor of working for facilities that were training doctors. And I got very interested in the brain. And from there, I worked in closed traumatic head injury, more work with the brain. A lot of our soldiers coming back suffer from these disorders. And I began to start work on my doctorate degree and look at the whole field of Alzheimer's disease. So that was 18 years ago when we didn't even have the technology that we have today to diagnose and examine whether or not there's changes in the brain. So I was a real pioneer in that regard. But I'm not a medical doctor. I'm what I call an educational physiologist. So I began to build a career in the aging brain and keeping the brain well and functioning and helping people understand how to do that. And through that kind of work, I got very interested in the gerontology movement and aging and long-term care. And I began to take a brain fitness program into long-term care and skilled nursing, which led me to be an advocate for Alzheimer's brain wellness programs. And I've done just about everything in the aging landscape in terms of advocacy, stewardship, and helping people lead healthful lives. And that's challenging in this day and age because there's a lot of myths and misconceptions about aging, certainly a lot of stereotypes out there. And the population demographics speak for themselves. We know that the age group that's 85 and over is the fastest growing segment of the population. And it is estimated to grow from 55 million today to 19 million by 2050. And those of us who are working on the forefront of this field, we're pioneers because we're having to go where, quote, no man has gone before. And so you might say I entered the field through the back door. I fell in love with it. I discovered that I have a real affinity, and because I am in the aging demographic itself, being a boomer, I want to advocate for my own generation, but also for the future of humanity and to come up with more humanistic ways of aging. So that's my two-minute movie.
There you go. A couple of things you mentioned there I just want to go back to, if we can, just for a couple of minutes. You mentioned that there are actual physical changes in the brain. I'm sure we've seen the things on TV about the Alzheimer's brain and what happens there. But there are physical changes in the brain with trauma as well, aren't there?
Yes, there are. And the research shows that people who have had traumatic brain injury are, in fact, at increased risk for developing Alzheimer's disease later on in life. So it is a risk factor. Also, if you have episodes of being unconscious, so if you were in a sporting event, you played football, this is why we're very, very concerned. Excuse me for coughing. I have a bit of a cold today, so I apologize to the listeners as well. I'm drinking some nice hot tea to help, but if I have a little clearing of the throat, you'll all understand.
Well, let me interrupt by telling you that I've got a prescription, but you have to add something to that hot tea. It's got to have some honey and some booze in it. That's an old Finlander's recipe called a hot bunna, and that'll straighten you out.
Oh, well, we call that tea in sympathy.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Something to those herbs that your grandmother passed down on the folk traditions there, and there's
exactly
some truth to it. So we digress. But
yes,
there's changes in the brain that occur, and we're just now able to unlock some of those secrets because a lot of people today think that brain research is relatively modern. And actually, the original brain researchers go all the way back to 400 BCE, We weren't around then, but the Greeks were. And so they were the original brain researchers, but of course they didn't have MRI or fMRI, which stands for functional magnetic resonance imaging. And nowadays, in the last 20 years, we have developed the technology to not only care for our aging population and enabling them to have the best quality of life in their own home, but we also have the technology to look inside the brain and unlock these secrets. Even though, as of today, August 24th, 2012, we still don't definitively have the answer for what causes Alzheimer's disease. We understand the processes that happen when you have Alzheimer's. There's plaques and tangles that are caused by proteins, beta and tau, but we're not sure what triggers those proteins. And so our research today is targeting the catalysts, the change agents that cause those proteins, and what makes them grow, what makes them start. And there's a lot of research that says Alzheimer's actually begins 20 and even 30 years prior to us even demonstrating symptoms. Mm-hmm. So we're unlocking lots and lots of secrets, but meanwhile, we have a large percentage of the population that has Alzheimer's disease. As a matter of fact, for those living 85 and over, and I just shared that that is the fastest growing segment of the population because we're able to live longer than ever before, but half of those, almost half, of the people living 85 and over in the United States have Alzheimer's disease. So this has tremendous ramifications because who cares for these people? Where do they get care? So we've got some challenges ahead.
Yes, there are. I've heard it said by some of the people that I've had on the show before that some people have it's almost like there's a switch that they have the capacity to get Alzheimer's and others don't. And something triggers that switch, flips that switch on, and then the Alzheimer's starts to take effect. Have you heard anything along those lines?
Well, there's all kinds of theories and philosophies floated out there. We do know that there is a genetic component to some types of Alzheimer's disease, and that people who have a certain what we call gene allele or gene combination, and we've even isolated what those are, particularly something called the APOE4 gene. If you carry that gene, you have an increased likelihood of developing Alzheimer's disease. But the problems that we face, because if you look at it, we could say, okay, everybody, you can go have this gene test, and if you carry this gene, we're going to do all X, Y, and Z for you. But what we found is even people who have that gene and people who have, upon autopsy, when we've looked at their brains, they have the brain of somebody who should have demonstrated while they were living Alzheimer's symptoms. But in fact, they lived normally. So how do we explain that? Well, maybe it's their lifestyle, diet, exercise, because right now the only preventive strategy that we know besides the genetic component is lifestyle factors that we control. And one of those is remaining socially engaged. And that means don't sit home watching TV 40 hours a week, which is about the average amount of time people who are retired spend watching TV. You've got to engage your brain. And that's why socialization, staying active and interested in the world and what's going on, trying new things is very important. Being in social groups and learning to take care of yourself physically as well as mentally are very important to positive aging. And so that's the kind of philosophy that we espouse through our new degree programs at Ashford University. We want people who work with an aging population to have a foundation of awareness of aging processes and to be up to date on the most current research. There's so much going on in the areas of research. We know so much, and yet we know so little. It's a great dichotomy.
Absolutely. When you were mentioning, also, I wanted to get to one other thing that you mentioned when you were giving us your two-minute movie. You said that there are myths and misconceptions about aging. Could you touch base on a few of those for us?
Oh, I'd love to, because this is something that's really passionate to me. And what I feel is, as an educator and somebody who's an expert in the field, it's my role to help people dispel some of these myths. And if we think about our culture, particularly our mass media, how are older people represented? Think about the television shows. Those of you who are boomer cohorts listening, which is probably the majority of you, you know the show The Golden Girls. That was a revolutionary show because it was the first time that active aging was portrayed, and we got away from doddering old ladies sitting around playing bridge and waiting to die. And we began to position aging in a more positive light. And that was a groundbreaking show in terms of stereotypes of aging. So we fast forward now, and we have some positive aging role models. But if you look at how aging is portrayed, it's got some stereotypes to it. We hear about adult diapers, and we hear about dentures. And it's basically positioned as a period of loss. You lose your friends, you develop arthritis, you're losing your mobility. It's not about gain. And there are certain things that happen both anatomically and physiologically when we age, that's not all bad. And I want to point out one of those that we have uncovered using technology to look at the brain is that our ability to solve problems actually gets better as we age. But we don't hear a lot about that. That's not touted. We hear about memory loss. And that in itself can be a myth, because if you say, do we get worse memories as we age? Yes and no. Memory is very, very complicated. It's not one thing. People tend to talk about memory like it's a one system. It's a multitude of components. Think about it. When you're trying to remember something, you get information in, you store it, and then you get it back out. Well, the most common memory problem we have as we age is we think it came in, but in fact it never registered. Let me give you some real-life examples of that. How many times have people walked into a room and they can't remember why they're there? Or they can't find their keys? Or they can't find their car? Well, we think it's because we're getting bad memories as we age. It's actually because our ability to focus and pay attention changes. Is that bad? No, it's different. It's different. And so we can do things to help ourselves. And one of the things, excuse me, that we can do is we can stop multitasking. You know, we're not like these young people who grew up with all this technology so they can listen to their iPod. They can get on their laptop, they can have music playing, loudspeakers, and they are doing their chemistry homework. Well, for us boomers, we can't even read the first sentence of the chemistry book. We can't focus. Too many distractions. Our brains are wired differently. So the single most important thing we can do is to concentrate so that we can register information. So brain changes are one of the areas where there's a lot of misconceptions, because people automatically assume that, oh my gosh, my memory's going bad, I'm getting Alzheimer's. Well, let me tell you, have you gone into a third grade classroom lately? Those folks, those young people, they leave a lot of things behind, but we don't say, oh, you're having a third grade moment. No, we don't say that. But suddenly, if you're over 55 and you can't remember where your keys are, you're having a, quote, senior moment. Now,
or a case of CRS.
Or CRS. But let me reframe that. We should say, oh, I'm having a cognitive cramp.
There you go. I like that.
Because that's what it is. It's just a misfiring. Your brain's misfiring. So how we portray people in the aging field, not everybody's getting a bad memory. Not everybody's developing Alzheimer's disease. And not everybody's a doddering old person sitting in a rocking chair waiting at death's door. As a matter of fact, there's been a lot of discoveries and new things brought to our society by aging individuals. And some of the best work of people's career is actually done when they're over age 50.
Well,
so that's just a few.
Yeah, I don't need to cut you off there, but I just had these couple of we start having these conversations with people like yourself, and I come up with these things that I've either heard or read or we've had a guest on. And one of the things that we've talked about on our show is with regard to the older person, and I'm going to say older person, like everybody says older person, but I don't want to call them seniors, not necessarily either, but I mean somebody that is more mature, shall we say. We have wisdom, and sometimes when somebody asks you a question and the younger generation just starts spewing off answers, bang, 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 and we're a little slower, and we're thinking about it. And it's sort of like that old thing, that Jack Benny thing where the guy says, your money, your life, and he says, I'm thinking it over. And so somebody asks us a question, and we say, hey, give me a minute, because there's something here that I got to consider everything else. So we refer to our wisdom, and people say, oh, you're just an old guy. You just can't come to the answer real quick. Well, there is no quick answer, possibly, because there's many things to consider that the younger folks don't consider. They just react. And I think that's, in some cases, adds to some of these myths and misconceptions about the fact that the older generation doesn't respond well. But I've found in my old age, and I've got an 89-year-old mother that lives under the same roof that I live under, and although she is having some slippage, in many instances still, the older I get, the smarter my parents are. And I think that people need to realize that a little bit more. I think employers need to realize that a little bit more, and society needs to realize that a little bit more.
Well, Pete, you just brought up a very good point. That's another myth that we should address, and that is, as we age, the rate at which our brain cells interact with each other, we call it firing in the scientific world, it changes, and it slows down. But does that mean we get more stupid, quote unquote? No. And you brought up the fact that it takes us longer. We call it processing speed. Our brain processing speed slows down as we age. It actually peaks in our late 20s, and then it starts a slow decline, but it's very slow. And it does take us longer to process information. And how does this manifest in the real world? Have any of you listeners had the experience of you received a telephone call and somebody says, hello, and you can't discern what they're saying. It's somebody from a call center. And your hearing may, in fact, be completely normal, but the speed at which we process language slows down. So when I'm working with private industry and advising to have aging awareness, and I'm working with call center clients, I would always tell them you have to slow your rate of speech because it takes the older brain longer to process. Does it mean they don't understand? Absolutely not. Does it mean that they're not intelligent? Absolutely not. It's a physiological change. And another myth that comes up that's related to this is that older people can't learn technology. That's a big myth.
That's not true.
We have one of the fastest growing users of technology are the folks who are 55 and older. And we now, as the Ashford degree programs tout, we have a lot of technology that's used in the home to help people age in place. Seniors can learn this technology. It just takes them longer than a young person. And I wanted to also comment on the fact that we don't know what to call this age group, because boomers, in particular, they hate being called older people.
Right.
So we've come up with a bunch of names because of the conferences I go to, we're trying to figure out what to call ourselves. So I just wanted to share, because I find it, I collect these names, and I wanted to share a couple of them. We're all struggling with what to call ourselves, and the business community doesn't know what to call us either. So sometimes they have to settle, and a popular term now is active adult instead of mature adult. But I wanted to share with you a couple of the names that I think are kind of clever. One is called OWLS, and that stands for Older, Wiser, Livelier Souls. Then geriactive, that's not too popular. The regeneration, go ahead.
I was going to say geriactive, you said it's not too popular, and I was agreeing. Well, I can understand that.
legacy launchers, seasoned citizens, and OPALs has been a term that's been batted around. That stands for older persons with active lifestyles. Then there's a term that's used specifically for boomers, and I find this one interesting, melders. That stands for middle age and elder together. Engagers, and then the XYZ generation. That stands for extra years of zest. And then the PS stage, and that's for post-60. And then this one I find amusing. I always laugh when I think about this. The metallic age, because you're silver in hair, golden teeth, tin ear, platinum credit card, titanium hip implant, and lead in your rear.
That's very good. Good.
Just thought I'd share those.
Yeah, that's fun. Now some of them though are pretty expressive as to what the boomer generation is. But you know what? Something tells me, and I don't know, maybe it's just me, because we use that term very, very readily in everything that we do. I think we may not like to be called boomers, but we are. It was assigned to us many years ago by people other than ourselves. And I think we're always going to be boomers, like it or not. You know, I think that's kind of the way it is. What do you think?
I tend to agree, whether we like it or not. That's our nomenclature. That's the name that was given to us. And the fact is that everyone is studying this generation, and we're being looked at under a microscope because we are aging differently than all previous generations. And the sheer numbers of us are redefining healthcare. When you think about it, nearly 78 million baby boomers between the ages of 47 and 65 are entering this time of critical healthcare needs.
Right.
And we're living longer, and we refuse to be marginalized like our parents might have been. We're saying, hey, I count. I'm a contributing member of this society. you're not going to warehouse me. I demand a different level of care, and I am not leaving my home.
Right.
So what does that mean? You know, what does that mean when we have so many of us who are going to need services, but we're going to just absolutely dig in our heels and say, you're not going to do to me what you did to my parents.
Mm-hmm.
We're absolutely going to refuse.
Right.
And so that means we're going to have new models of care, which we address in our degree programs at Ashford, but also the way the care is delivered. Do we need to be in a facility? Can't we leverage the technology that we have to monitor and track people through telehealth systems and Wi-Fi? Of course we can. And that's how the healthcare system is changing. But we have to train people to care with that technology. And that's why we need degree programs that educate folks who will be our caregivers, who understand our, what I call, the psychodynamics of our aging. Because a boomer, one of the things about our generation is we're never going to grow up. It's all
right.
About youth, maintaining
right.
our youth. We're the biggest users of plastic surgery, cosmetics, spas. We have the consumer dollars. Everybody's catering to our generation. Even though you might have lost some in the stocks and the bad economy, the fact is that economically, we're the biggest stakeholder.
Well, you know what's amazing to me is I just read an article. It was in something that I get on the email called Silver Tsunami. And there was an article in there with regard to the fact that of all the advertising revenues that are spent in this country, only 5% of the advertising revenues are directed toward the baby boom generation. And I fell off my chair. But it's true when you stop and think of it. And I think you briefly mentioned that earlier when we were talking about the fact that there are so many more things now that the baby boomers are involved in and interested in that people have to start realizing it. Marketers have to start realizing it. And some of the marketers would be marketing such things as the services you're talking about and the educational practices that you're talking about so they can cater to that group. And that group itself might be some of the people that would avail themselves of your educational services.
Absolutely. We have we serve a non-traditional student body since we have a campus in Iowa, but the bulk of our students take courses online. And we have an older cohort of students, so we're not the traditional 18 to 23-year-old of a traditional college. And we have many, many people who are re-careering, coming back to school. I just spoke with a student who is 56. And wondered if she should come back and get a degree in gerontology because she wanted to work with people that are a little bit older than she was. And she was wondering what the job prospects were. Oh, booming. Anything with aging, of course, lots of potential because we, as a cohort of boomers, we are going to take advantage of scientific breakthrough, and we are going to live longer than all previous generations, but that means we have special needs, and there's some already targeted marketing campaigns that are going on. I'll give you an example. We used to never see advertisements for knee implants on television.
Right.
And yet now they're putting those on directly to the consumer.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll go in and you'll ask your doctor, I want this knee implant because I saw this. The Depends diapers now. We never saw that.
Yeah, Lisa Rinna can still look hot even though she's wearing some sort of a Depends diaper, but her husband says, well, she still looks good. whatever that commercial is, it goes whoa, and there it is. You got football players wearing them to demonstrate the the use. And it's amazing. There are more and more marketing things that are coming out directed towards the age group. There's no doubt about it.
And we have a special degree program in health marketing. And in that, we look at the different cohorts of generations. And we know that there is, if you can target a boomer generation, you're going to capture, in my own consulting work, I do workshops called Capturing the Silver Dollar. And it's advising businesses on how to make their business senior friendly. Everything from, if you have a retail establishment, how wide are your aisles? And that's just a sample thing, but we know as people age, they need twice as much light to see things. So what kind of lighting do you have? You go into a restaurant and you typically the lights are low and the menus are small print. How do you make that user-friendly without insulting an older person, saying, oh, you know, we have reading glasses you can borrow, or you'll see a lot of people holding candles over to their menus. These kinds of things are going to become much more needed in our society because the boomers have the expendable income. So there's all kinds of policy issues that boomerhood is very complex. Mm-hmm. You can look at it on a mental level, a physical level, a psychosocial level. What drives us as boomers, and then the people who were born on the cusp of boomerhood, they have their own values, and so not all boomers are the same.
Well, it's a huge cohort.
Yeah.
I mean, how many years are there between 46 and 64? I mean, my goodness, it's a huge cohort. It's somebody would be silly, in my opinion, somebody would be silly to think that what they're going to be talking about to somebody that's 55, 60, and 65 is the same as they're going to be talking to somebody that's 47, who may still have kids at home.
Right.
Within the cohort, there's a lot of divergence.
And this brings up this whole concept of the sandwich generation. Many boomers are in the sandwich. They're carrying, their kids have moved back home, the boomerang kids, who they thought that were going to be independent, they can't afford due to economic conditions, have moved back home, and they bring their kids. So now a boomer is raising kids as a grandparent.
Right.
Plus, the boomer is also caring for their own parents who are developing Alzheimer's disease or have had strokes and need hands-on care. So there's a lot of pressure that can be on a boomer.
Absolutely. Doctor, I want to get a couple of messages in here that we always played right around halfway or a little after. So let me play these two little messages, and we'll come back for more conversation.
Okay, Pete. Looking
Boomer
forward to
Babe
it.
Boomer Babe are the publishers of Boomer Series books. Our authors have their own shows on the Boomer and the Babe Network. We encourage you to listen. Ron Naraki, author of the forthcoming book, The Ten Commandments of Investing, is the host of Wealth DNA, a financial show about real estate investment. Learn how to build and manage your portfolio. Ron hosts the show, and he always has good information to pass along, as do his guests. Listen to Wealth DNA on the second and fourth Monday of the month at 8 a.m. Arizona time. Tom Liggering's another Boomer Series author. His book, Success or Failure, The Choice is Yours, is the basis of the show he does with his broadcast partner, Dr. Terry Munther. Listen to Success or Failure with Tom and Terry on the fourth Wednesday of every month at 9 a.m. Arizona time. Learn how you can maximize your performance in business and in life. The methods you employ can either help or hinder. The choice is yours. The Boomer and the Babe are proud to be affiliated with Valley View Community Food Bank, where the food is always free. Valley View is now serving Phoenix from their new 36,000 square foot location at West Peoria and 107th Avenue in Sun City, Arizona. The new location houses the food bank, Feeding Arizona, and the Valley View Thrift Store. Feeding Arizona delivers food to other food banks and food pantries that are in need. If you're looking for a 501c3 to support, go to valleyviewcommunityfoodbank.com. All donations are welcome, be it food, money, or volunteer hours. No donation is too small. Get a hold of Jesse Ramirez, founder and director, and say, I want to help. Valley View Community Food Bank, where the food is always free.
And we're back on Arizona Boomer Radio with the Boomer and the Babe. We're speaking with Dr. Alice Westergaard about, I think it's safe to say, the aging of America and what's coming up for the baby boomer generation as they proceed into older than their parents, possibly, and well beyond their parents because of all the things that are happening and all the things that are available to help longevity. So let's talk a little bit more about that, Doctor. What can we expect as we get older, as a boomer cohort, as we get older? What do we have to look forward to?
Well, I'm happy to say that we can look forward to a lot of positives because nowadays we're leveraging technology to make our lives better and easier as we age. And certainly with the advances in medicine and the research we're doing, we can diagnose and treat our physical issues a lot earlier. And so we can remain in our homes. We don't necessarily have to be placed in nursing homes because we have the technology. And in fact, Ashford University uses technology to teach about these various new technologies. So we're part of that wave towards defining a new way of living in our world using technology. We actually have a name for this new field that helps us stay in our homes. It's called domotics, and that comes from the word domicile. And it's an emerging new field. It's comprised of assistive technologies that enable a number of the growing population of elderly to receive care and live safely and comfortably at home, regardless if they're independent or interdependent, needing some assistance, or if they're completely dependent. So this is a positive message. A lot of our parents were forced to go to facilities that they really didn't want to go to. And this is a change. We're looking at new models of living even for boomers. There's a big movement called co-housing where people have independent units, but they share a common area and they have events there. And caregivers, there can be a couple caregivers in those communities or they can be multiple ages in the communities, not exclusive to seniorhood. Seniors have lifelong learning programs now. You know, it used to be, hey, if you went to high school or you went to college, you did that as a young person. And we didn't talk about the importance of lifelong learning as a way of brain insurance to keep your brain healthy. Now we know that learning in your adulthood and well beyond actually has protective mechanisms to keep the brain cells happy. So up until about 18 years ago, we believed that you were born with all the brain cells you're ever going to have. So they start dying. And we used to believe that you can't grow new ones. Well, now we know you can. And one way to do that is to keep learning. So we offer new programs and all kinds of degree programs to keep people's brains stimulated, and they don't even have to leave their living room. They can just get on their computer and earn a degree in something that they've always wanted to learn about, whether it's in the aging field, the caregiving field, or healthcare, which has got so many dynamics. We just passed the Affordable Care Act as, well, we didn't pass it, but it was decreed to be legal by our Supreme Court at the end of June, and so we're going to see all kinds of healthcare delivery changes, and that impacts boomerhood. Those of us who are boomers who couldn't afford to have health insurance or were in our older years and were just barely scraping by to perhaps purchase medication, or we can't afford to pay out of pocket for a medical procedure, all of that is going to change now. And so the picture is very positive for aging. And the boomer group is going to be the first generation that are true recipients of the mind-body-spirit of positive aging. So I'm very excited about it because not only am I advocating and creating that future, but I'm in the cohort. So I have a vested interest in making sure my elderhood is going to be the most positive. But I also have some concerns because where are these caregivers going to come from? We need to get people into school and get them educated so that they know how to use the technology, so that they understand how to work with me and they understand what's happening when it takes me longer to do things. I want an educated group of people helping me. And in order to do that, we have to train our workforce. So that's the future in a nutshell.
It's interesting, a couple of things here again that you mentioned. You mentioned brain insurance and learning as part of it. So it really is a case of use it or lose it to some degree, isn't it? You have to. Just like anything else, if you sit around on your couch or in your rocker or your lazy boy and you drink soda and eat bonbons and watch TV, not only are you not probably getting a lot of stimulation into the mind, but you're also just wasting away literally sitting in your chair because you're not up and moving around. So that all affects everything, doesn't it? So it is a case of not only the brain but the body as well, use it or lose it.
That's right. All of our research today, and remember, as of August 24th, we can't tell you 100% certain what causes Alzheimer's disease. But what we do know is that leading an active lifestyle, both physically and mentally, are the best insurance policies that we have in this day and age. So all those things that your grandmother told you when you were growing up turn out to be true. What did she say? She said, eat your vegetables, get your rest, and drink water. And
that's right.
She was right.
That's right.
That's very important.
That's what I said earlier. The older you get, the smarter your parents were. it's interesting when you say those things, and we all do know them. I think at some level, just subconsciously at least, we know when we're sitting in the chair not doing anything that this just is not good for us. It can't possibly be. I think we know that, but it's a function of whether or not we want to get ourselves up off our dead backsides and go do something. What I'm trying to do partially with this radio show is I know that I've got a lot of years left in me, and even if I am physically unable to do a lot of things due to other maladies or whatever that may inflict me at a later date, as long as I can sit on this behind this microphone and this headset and talk to people like yourself and engage mentally, I can be happy. And I can be vibrant and alive into many, many late years of my life before all of a sudden the ticker just quits ticking. And this radio show is part of my insurance policy, quite frankly, as far as what I'm trying to do for brain insurance.
Well, absolutely, because you have a purpose, which is very important as we age. If you look at society, the marginalization of older people in our society, and this is where the boomer group as a whole is going to change this, because as I indicated, we're going to refuse to be marginalized. You can't shut us away in a warehouse. We're just not going to go. We're going to capitalize on this emerging field of demotics, and we're going to create new systems of housing and ways of caring for us. And we're going to remain active and engaged longer than any other previous generation, because as technology advances and advances in medicine, we're going to be spending one-third of our lifespan in what is now called, quote, retirement.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? We can't just sit around and rock away. We've got to, some of us are going to go back to school. Some of us are going to re-career. Some of us are going to do the things we always wanted to do, but we were raising kids and we didn't have time to do, or we didn't have the money, or we, this is a big one, we have, everybody has baggage, your self-perception of, gee, I could never learn how to play an instrument, I'm 60 years old. Those kinds of misbeliefs, because we now know from our scientific research that if you set your mind to it, you're never too old to learn something. You can learn till the day you die. It just may take you longer, and you have to have the motivation. But you can learn anything. I had a client who was 95, and I asked her once, what is it you'd like to do before you die? And I thought she was going to say go on a trip, I go to some foreign country, see one of the great wonders of the world. Her answer surprised me. She said, I always wanted to play a musical instrument, but I was told I had no musical talent. So I gave her a little diagnostic test to find out how her brain processed information. And then I created a system to teach her a few musical notes using shapes rather than numbers, because her brain didn't process the numbers the same way as we teach traditional music. And I went out to a Target market and I got her a little plastic recorder, that instrument that you play vertically.
Yes.
It took me 45 minutes, and she was playing that folk tune, Go Tell Aunt Brody, in 45 minutes.
Huh.
And it was an amazing, that was early on when I was doing my doctorate, and I never forgot that, because it was an indicator to me of how long the baggage and the misperceptions can continue. 95 years old, believing her whole life that she couldn't do this, because we couldn't teach her the way her brain learned.
Right.
And now we can. So those beliefs that we have about ourselves, using the scientific technology to figure out how our brains learn, how our brains even work, and the threshold of science that's before us, the potentials of what we can do as we age, it's really limitless. And now with technology and computers and the internet, we don't have to be isolated anymore. We can remain active.
That's true. It's interesting. You're talking about the learning capability is regardless of age, and you still have it, and it really, never really leaves you. Excuse me. There was a case not long ago where Deborah and I were actually teaching a program at something that's called the RISE program, and it's at one of the community colleges here, and it is directed towards retirees and seniors. And we did, at that time, we were involved in a project called 72 Crew about evacuation, and we were trained as first responders and so on and so forth. And we taught this program to these seniors at this RISE program, and they were engaged and they were on top of it. And we did a 13-week class program once a week for 13 weeks. And I tell you, they couldn't keep enough instructors for enough different topics in there with all the demand that they had for their continuing education projects. And it just goes to show that the desire is there, the need is there, and you know, we're talking about marketing. Why wouldn't you want to address that market? It's virtually untapped market in many cases. So, I mean, anybody that's looking for a new business, that would be a way to do it. And your Ashford University program, I believe, probably does a little bit of that training. So why don't you, in the last few minutes here, tell us about Ashford University, what it is, how it is, and what is your role in it, and then after that we'll wrap up the show.
Okay. Ashford University is a university for our modern times because we have up-to-date curriculum, very high quality. We have a campus, but the bulk of our students, over 90,000 from all over the world, take their courses online, sitting in their living room, working in their pajamas, wherever they are, regardless of what shift they work or how old they are. They can take a course, and I would encourage anybody who's ever thought about getting a degree or maybe you want a second degree to give us a call at 1-866-711-1700 for additional information. We have all kinds of degree programs, but I was the founding executive dean for the College of Health, Human Service, and Science, and was responsible for rolling out a lot of our cutting-edge healthcare degree programs that are designed to fit with what's happening in our current society. So we address a field called health informatics, which is the use of technology to better deliver care and to make better care decisions. We have gerontology, the study and field of aging, and all of those related courses about aging policies, the Affordable Care Act that just passed, death and dying, giving people comfort in having a death be a positive experience. Our society does not deal well with death. We've got business courses. We have everything in liberal arts that you can imagine. And we bring education to people at affordable rates, high-quality programs that are recreational as well as meeting business and emerging needs across all landscapes in society, so regardless of topic. And all you need is a computer to do it, and the world is at your feet. And we've got electronic books that come alive with video and engaging exercise. So learning is not passive. This is brain health at its finest because we engage you. You might think, well, how can you do that sitting at a computer? But we have incredible technology. And if you have some kind of disability, this is a wonderful way to go because everything is captioned. We have a whole department that's our health and wellness that can help you regardless of your disability. So if you or one of your children or grandchildren is interested in one of our programs, you can also access us on the web at www.ashford.edu. And I'm always available to answer any questions. Call our general number that I listed. Again, it's 1-866-711-1700. Do it for yourself, boomers, because it's all about brain health and keeping our brains active, but also learning about the world we live in, whether it's business or English or history or criminal justice. Stay engaged.
Let me ask you one last question with regard to that. If somebody wanted to go online and take a class because it was something that was of interest to them and they wanted to learn more about that one topic, is that available to them?
Yes, it is. Call that number and someone can assist you. And what will probably happen, though, is you will have such a good experience and you'll meet people like yourself and also different. And hopefully you'll get jazzed and excited and you'll realize how valuable this is, because coming to Ashford, you come to the world. You're connected with the rest of society and you're learning about things here and now that impact you and also your children, your family, and the world we live in. And it's a part of your brain wellness program, which is part of positive aging. So check us out and see what you think. But if nothing else, remember, whether you come to Ashford or not, stay engaged, keep mentally active, physically active, eat a portion-controlled, well-balanced diet, and get involved, have a passion, have a purpose, and that's what positive aging is all about.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a great conversation that I've had with you, Dr. Alice Westergaard, and I'm going to give you a quick call after we wrap up this show, so I hope you can be available for just a couple of minutes, and we'll be talking again soon, and I want to thank all of our listeners for listening for another great week, and we have more guests again next week. Very interesting conversations. We try to bring good conversations to the world, and I think we succeeded again today. So with that, I'm going to say goodbye, and goodbye for on behalf of Dr. Alice Westergaard from Ashford University. Thank you very much for listening, everybody, and have a great weekend. Talk again soon.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Arizona Boomer Radio with Pete Peters and Deborah Brown. Arizona Boomer Radio is produced by the Boomer and the Babe Incorporated and can be heard Monday through Friday. You can sign up for their online magazine at boomerandthebabe.com. To reach the Boomer and the Babe, email host at boomerandthebabe.com or friend them on facebook.com/boomerandbabe. And on Blog Talk, you can friend them at blogtalkradio.com/boomerandbabe. Follow their tweets at twitter.com/boomerandbabe. Be sure to make the second half of your life the best half of your life. And remember, at 50, you're just getting started.